This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Sports Map Radio and Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Especially this hour, because we're going to do our top five, bottom five, now that 6 weeks are complete in the National Football League. Eric Edholm will join us from Yahoo Sports. We'll go over the teams and the leagues and the games and what we know now, again, after 6 weeks in the NFL. Monday Night Football last night, two games that weren't all that great, especially the nightcap in which Arizona just cruised past Dallas. You know, I find Arizona a very entertaining team. I like Kyler Murray. I think Cliff Kingsbury is one of those young, fun coaches. You know, it's hard to separate when you have Seattle in the division and even so much the Rams, who they've got a tied record with. There is a little bit more of a spotlight on other teams. I mean, look, the Rams have gone to the Super Bowl. The Niners have gone to the Super Bowl. Seattle has gone to a bunch of them. So if you're Arizona and you've always been kind of the doormat, you've always kind of been the last place team in a very good division, yeah, it's hard to get the kind of attention that you deserve now, being one of the better teams in the toughest division in the NFL. But I think last night was one of those kind of cool national exposure games for Arizona. I don't know where you live, but I hardly ever get them on my TV during just a regular broadcast. I got to either find them on Red Zone when they're doing other good things, or at the time where I had the ticket, that's the only way I could see them. I don't usually get their games, but when you do get a chance to see them, they're really fun. Kyler Murray is especially like that. But even a 38-10 victory, and I always think that this is the case whenever you play Dallas. Unless you're one of those upper echelon teams, unless you're a Tom Brady New England Patriots type of team, or like when Peyton Manning and the Broncos were that kind of team, or anybody else that's really good or has got established superstar quarterback Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, whenever you play Dallas, it is hard to come away from that, from a game like that, when you win, especially by 28 points, and get the attention. The attention is going to be on Dallas. Like, go to any site and you'll see already three or four articles on the Cowboys' woes rather than what Arizona did right and how good Arizona is looking at 4-2, and maybe they are a threat, et cetera, et cetera. No, it's about Dallas and not being able to replace Dak Prescott and Andy Dalton. And what about Ezekiel Elliott fumbling the football and the defense is terrible? Because that is where the focus is going to lie. It's too bad for Arizona, had the national spotlight and won handedly, but always going to be the attention on Dallas.
Kane is in the building there.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, that music means one of three things. Either A, we're just playing the song in general. Two, there's an episode of Ballers coming up. Or three, it's top five, bottom five.
Go with the latter. Two.
Yeah. Is The Rock still kicking around?
The Rock is still kicking around.
Yeah, but not his character.
The character he played, Spencer somebody.
Spencer Strasmore.
Strasmore, that is, yeah. That is a defunct character now.
Who had enough money to buy the Kansas City Chiefs at the end of that series.
Yep.
Yeah.
And although fake, Rock stepped it up and just said, I'll just buy a whole damn league.
I'll buy a league, exactly. All right, we go from five all the way to number one. So we'll get things started with our top five, bottom five. By the way, if you'd like to give us your top five, bottom five on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, we certainly like to compare notes. Number five on my list is Seattle. Is Seattle the fifth best team in the NFL? No, of course not. They're higher than that. They were just on a bye week. So I kind of forgot how good they are. So you're still in my top five, but I didn't get to see you last week. So enjoy the time off. But because you took a break, you get to plummet down to number five right now. You'll be back to your normal perch
my
of
Lord,
life
punishing
when
them.
You play again. But because you needed that week off for whatever reason, you get to plummet down to number five on my list. No, this seriously is a very good football team.
That wasn't their fault.
No, but still. They're very good. They're excellent.
They are.
They're 5-0. They're exciting whenever they play. Ever I get a chance to watch them play, they're always in some sort of nail-biting fun. I love them. They've got the MVP right now. And but they're five because I want to talk more about the other four teams.
There you go. My fifth team, which will probably be in your top five later, is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm starting to believe. I'm starting to believe.
Yeah,
I have to question myself. I have to keep repeating that to myself. I'm starting to believe. This team is undefeated, and every single time they step on the field, they're looking good. Listen, they had literally no practices. What was that, last Thursday night? Did they play?
Yeah, they've had one practice in 2 weeks.
Whenever they played, and they just roll stomped all over the Bills, and then they beat up a good pesky Texans team that just got rid of their coach and that has everything, has all this motivation now. And you can see that the Texans are actually starting to become a better team, not the 1-4 team that we see as a record. They're starting to play like they're supposed to. And it took everything that the Titans have. Besides that, no one's going to stop Derrick Henry.
That's right. I have Tennessee as four. This was an excellent week for them. I mean, they started with that Tuesday night win against Buffalo and then beat a Texans team in overtime. Derrick Henry is awesome. I mean, look, what's the old analogy about running backs? Don't pay them because you see a decline in production. They paid him. They have seen an amazing production from Derrick Henry. But the other important piece of what makes Tennessee click is Ryan Tannehill, right? I mean, he's not flashy. He's not throwing for 400 plus yards, but he does enough and he's poised enough in that pocket that to have the running game that they have to open up the passing game, he takes advantage. Look, I've been reluctant to put Tennessee in my top five. They beat the Jaguars barely. They beat the Vikings barely. They beat Denver to open up the season, but they missed a ton of kicks. But these last two games, I'm like, okay, wait a minute, this is for real. That was a good Bills team that came into Nashville. That's like you said, that's a Houston team that feels like they've gotten better now that Bill O'Brien's out. They're not 1-4.
They're not a 1-4 team.
And Tennessee took care of them both. They got the Steelers coming up this weekend. We'll see, because that's a immovable force against the object, whatever it's whatever that saying right. is. You've got an offense that can score, and the offense that can move the ball on the ground. You've got a Steelers team that limits scoring and is pretty good against the run. But they'll have their hands full with Derrick Henry. But they're my number four team.
Yeah, number four for me, I have the Ravens.
Ravens, all right.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this team. They just keep rolling. Their defense is great. But you know what, Ravens? You're in second place in your division.
That's true.
That's the reason why you're number four right now, because
that's true.
I had to move a team up because there's another team in your division that is undefeated.
Well, that's where I put Baltimore. I've got Baltimore as number three. Baltimore is, like you said, they're just cruising along right now at 5-1. They're not under the radar by any means. They have the reigning MVP, and they were supposed to have gone to the AFC title game last year, except for a loss to the Titans. However, you're right. There's a team in the division that's one up on them right now, as of right now.
Right now.
And so I can't put them at two or one, so I have to put them at three.
Yep. Well, that's number three for me. That's where I had the Steelers.
Steelers.
I feel kind of dirty putting the Steelers at number three. It's because I don't know if I know them that well.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like looking at them going, okay, I'm just going to put you here because your record shows that you're one of the better teams in the league. You're undefeated. You've beaten some pretty good opponents, but I still don't know if I really know you.
Yeah, that I understand. I get that. I absolutely get that. It was a 4-0 start where you were just like, I don't know about this team. They're 4-0, but they're missing something. But then I thought Sunday was real eye opening.
They just seem to keep beating everyone they play. They find a way to win, and this is and that's what you want in a team. Listen, you don't have to blow out every single team. You don't have to have 30-7 games.
No, especially in this league, right? This isn't college football where you're supposed to beat Chattanooga by 50 points.
Yeah, you
this
don't have to like put that. Up what was it, Clemson? I don't know,
73-7 or
Georgia
something like
Tech.
That. Yeah,
yeah. You don't need to do that.
Yeah,
in the
you don't
NFL.
Have to do that.
But if you keep finding ways to win, and no matter what, comfortable last second drives, it doesn't really matter. But if you find ways to win, that's all it takes. And that's what this team has right now, is they just keep finding ways to win.
Number two on my list, Kansas City. All right? Kansas City. Now, last night was a good game for them. Last night was good in their victory. It was raining. It was yucky. They were on the road, and they didn't get Bills Mafia. They didn't need it. They ran the ball excellent. You talk about Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was fantastic last night. He's great. He is really great. 161 yards, gouged Buffalo. As I said last hour, you open up that game, you open up that running game, and then you let Patrick Mahomes lights out. The Bills keeping it as close as they did was surprising, given they kept getting outgained the whole game. Kansas City, even though they did lose to the Raiders, they're number two. I'll give you my reason for number one later because it's personal. But that's Kansas City is number one. Number two
for me. That's where I have the Seahawks. I can't penalize them just because they didn't play.
They didn't play. What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to properly judge? They didn't play.
I look at it this way. Russell Wilson's still the front runner for
the
MVP.
He's great.
We had talked last week about Aaron Rodgers making some noise, but then after what we saw, what happened to him against the Bucs, at Seahawks, it's Russell Wilson's now to lose.
They played five games. He has 19 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
For the love of Pete, that's
a touchdown pass this past weekend.
Yeah, we just didn't see it. But we saw it. People saw it. You're right. Listen, I'm having fun with the Seahawks. They're back in my top whatever when they get back.
They'll be, number two next week when they roll stop over the Cardinals.
I'm sorry. This is just a fan service. Steelers are my number one team this week. I'm doing it because this is not going to last. I'm telling you. It's not going to last. I'm more hard on my team than probably other people are. But here's why the Steelers are number one, because this is the only opportunity that I'm going to be able to do this, unless they beat Tennessee next week, and then maybe I'll do it again. But... I'm going to be honest with you. I have been a Steelers fan for over 40 years, ever since I was a little kid and Bradshaw was winning Super Bowls. Little kid. And I've seen the worst of this team. I've seen the best of this team. I've been massively, massively disappointed by some of their postseason results. And I've been very pleasantly surprised some of the things they did. I was blown away by what they did to Cleveland. And this is a team that beats up the Browns every time they play them. But I really was nervous about this game with the way Cleveland was playing. I thought the Browns had figured out their offense. And they came into this year's version of Cleveland, was very threatening, very good. And the Steelers manhandled them. Shut down everything that Cleveland was doing offensively. And I did not think I would see it. And plus, the reason they're number one for me, and this again, I've been a Steeler fan for a very, very long time. This is the first time in my life they have started 5-0.
Yeah.
So I'm going to reward that by giving them the number one team.
And that's what I'm saying. I have never
seen them 5-0, and now they're 5-0.
That's why I had them. I had them as high as I did because I felt dirty because I feel like I should know the Steelers better than where they are right now.
Of course, certainly, absolutely, I agree with that
because they're like you said. They look like they almost struggled against the Eagles. And then they go against the Browns team and made us second guess. Like, were we really thinking the Browns were good?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They did exactly that.
My bad for thinking that the Browns were on an upward trajectory. That was my fault for thinking that.
Me too.
Because the Steelers just showed us that, no, the Browns ain't anything right now.
No, I'm on one of those Facebook Steeler fan things, right? And everyone's saying, same old Browns. But in honesty, in an honest evaluation, that was a good football team that they beat. That was a team that figured themselves out after losing to the Ravens, knowing how to score. Yeah. Right? They may say, look, we may be winning games 35-30, but we know how to put up some numbers. We can score. We'll run it down your throat, and we will throw. And when we throw, we'll do good, but we'll run it down your throat. Now, I know they didn't have Nick Chubb. I get it. But it didn't matter. That defense was stout, and they were fantastic.
Nick Chubb wouldn't have done anything.
They were really ready for whatever Cleveland was throwing at them.
Nah, I feel kind of boring.
Go ahead.
Because my number one team, again, it's the Chiefs.
Sure, of course.
I feel boring. I like how you did your top five. I'll make up for it in the bottom five. I like how you did your top five. You went out on a limb here. You threw a team out there that's probably not going to be your number one team next week.
Probably not going to be my number one team next week.
I just went with the old mantra, given a one-game scenario, blah, 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 blah. Like I said last week, I'm still rolling with the Chiefs. I think they're the...
No, they are. They're great.
Offensive side, defensive side, special team side. I think they're just the most complete team right now.
It's amazing to me. You think you watch them in the Super Bowl and you say, wow, how can this team get better, right? And they did. They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They did.
Yeah, they had that little hiccup against the Raiders. That's going to happen, but you know what? That just means they're not going to finish the season undefeated.
Can you imagine having a running back that can take that kind of load for that offense?
My God.
Now, I know they're not going to play the Bills every time or the defense every time, but
one thing, though, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, He needs to figure out how to score in the red zone.
Yeah, it's true.
That's his only issue.
Can't give it
right
to Daryl Williams every time.
He has like 100. He had what, rush for like 200 yards yesterday.
161.
Yards. I mean,
yeah.
He just was running all over the place. The Bills had no answer for him, and he can't punch it in the red zone. So
that's
just
right.
They just need to figure that part out. They're hosting another Lombardi Trophy.
All right, let's go to the bottom five when we come back. It is Sports Map Radio. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for the bottom five, the worst of the worst in the NFL. But before we do that, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? Because O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, a better prices every day. All right, we start with 28, move all the way up to 32. A little bit of a shuffle this week. So I start with number 28. Now, for me, I thought about this, and then I went, yeah, you know what? The last worst thing I saw is the first worst thing I'll talk about. Dallas is my number 28 team. I don't think I'll put Dallas on going forward, but last night was awful. It was awful. Four turnovers, two by Elliott, two by Dalton. They've got Dalton at quarterback. Their defense can't stop anybody. I know they're hurt up and down the lineup. I know Mike McCarthy just doesn't have anything left to go with this football team. National stage, at home, even though no huge crowds in the stands, you got to pull off a better effort than that. That was terrible. They've only got two wins. They do lead the division, but they're in my number 28 team.
All right, number 28 for me. I put the 1-5 Vikings.
1-5 Vikings is a good way to start.
I don't know what this team is at all.
Wow, were they bad?
They play terrible. Then they come out and they beat a Texans team that gets a coach fired. And then they show up last week or this past Sunday with a team that just fired their coach and roll over.
Not only roll over, they really got throttled. They lost by like 17 points.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know like what Dalvin Cook was hurt.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I mean, really, Kirk Cousins is supposed to be your man. You guaranteed all the money to him.
And they all don't give, the money.
And they don't give guaranteed contracts in the NFL.
Exactly.
Yet you did. This is just a terrible team. This is going to be a long-suffering season for Minnesota.
It's really too bad because I predicted them in the preseason to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I predicted them to win the division.
Probably.
Stupid eye. All right, number 29, Jacksonville. Boy, the train is falling off our Gardner Minshew bandwagon. I really was hoping that would have a lot more legs than it does. They've now lost five in a row. Five straight losses. And here's the kicker. They've given up 30 or more points in all five losses. It's not necessarily Minshew's fault, but look, this is what you get when everybody who's any good wants to leave the team. This is what you do when you draft people in the first round, and then within a couple of years, they go, get me the hell out of here, and then you accommodate them. But yeah. They're a bad football team.
No,
they have nobody to blame but themselves.
They make an appearance in my bottom five. But not yet. First, I got to go Bengals. I didn't want to do it. I'm liking what Joe Burrow is doing. But you know what? What are they? 1-5-1 or 1-4? I don't even know what the record is.
They're 1-4-1.
Outside that one win against the Eagles, they really haven't looked better. They got blown out by the Ravens. And then last week, there was some competitiveness, but I'm sorry to say this about, I think a future Hall of Famer, but they let Phillip Rivers get back on them.
Yeah, they were up 21-0.
Yeah.
They were up 24-7.
And I thought, okay, we're turning the tables with Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's becoming NFL elite. And no, the Bengals were like, oh, Joe, we know what you did over there. We're just going to let the Colts do what they want to do. So, yeah, they're, what is that, 29?
So here's a fun stat for you. You ready for this?
Yes.
All right, Zach Taylor, since taking over the Bengals, is 1-11-1 in games within games within one score.
That's a lot of ones.
That's a lot of ones. So in close games, Zach Taylor cannot coach the team to victory.
Yeah.
He has one win in 13 games as head coach of the Bengals, in which the game ended within a one score margin. He can't close it out. They were up 21-0, and they lost another close game. But that really wasn't a back-and-forth affair. They had a big lead. I don't care if you got a rookie quarterback or not. You got to figure out a way to close that one out. You're absolutely right. 30 on my list, the Giants. They picked up a victory. Yay! All right, I put the Giants there because I'm giving them a little bit of credit for beating Washington. A little bit. They stopped a two-point conversion at the end to secure the win. This has got to make you feel at least a little decent in giant land that you're a game out of first place in the division.
Yeah.
Celebrate it as much as you want.
Technically, what, you're in second or third?
That's right.
Right now?
Wouldn't that be weird if the Giants won the division? Like, Daniel Jones and the Giants pick off a couple of more wins and, like they beat the Eagles on Thursday night,
yeah,
and then they win
12.
they win one or two more games, and then, like, wow, we're up by, like, two games in this division.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Number 30 for me, this is where I put Jacksonville. I really hate doing this, too. I know you and I, we love us some Gardner Minshew.
We love Gardner Minshew.
We love him, but like you just said, when you draft all the best defensive talent for the last 5 years, 6 years, and you don't have one person left, you're not doing it right. And I don't know if Shad Khan's trying to do this so he can finally push the NFL and say, "See, look, no one wants us. We're moving to England."
Yeah, let's move to England. You know, they'll accept us.
We're always constantly saying, "Hey, you know, you're tanking for Tua, you're tanking for Trevor. He might be tanking for the Tames."
That's right.
I don't know.
Can you imagine if they did move to England? And a couple of years, that country is going to go to war with us.
But they'll be coming over with mustaches and jorts.
Yeah, that's
true.
So we're
going to be okay.
Yeah. Or maybe they'll be like, "You Americans, all you do is send us your trash." Yeah, we do. What can we say? What can I say? 31, Washington. Hey, you lose to the Giants, you're going to be in this bottom five somewhere. I didn't know where I was going to put you. So I might as well just put you one up on the team that beat you. By the way, who's quarterbacking Washington these days? Have they brought back Joe Theismann? Have they brought back Jay Schrader? Is it Kyle Allen? Who's quarterbacking this dumb team?
Yeah.
Right? Is Alex Smith going to eventually start for them?
He should.
What's going on? Can they bring back Heath Shuler, former Tennessee quarterback? What's going on? I know they liked Kyle Allen, did some nice things, but I don't know. It seems like a mess. It's a real mess. But you know what? They don't run the ball very well. They certainly don't throw it, and they are 1-4, 1-5, and so they're if they're in the bottom of the worst division alphabetically, they're in the bottom of the worst division for me, and I put them at 31.
I thought long and hard about my 31st team.
Yep.
So 28, I have the Vikings. 29, I have the Bengals. 30, I have Jacksonville, right? And so
right.
I thought long and hard because there's really only one division that deserves to have a team represented here.
Yeah.
And then last night it hit me. No. The entire division, the NFC East,
you're right.
Is 31st.
I have three teams
five.
In that division in the bottom
yeah.
five. You just put them all together.
I'm throwing the Eagles in there too, man. Listen, here's the telltale sign. Total wins for the NFC East division equal the amount of wins the Bears have. There's something not right going on with this division.
It's amazing.
4-12. I keep saying it as a joke, but I really starting to believe 4-12 could win this division. I saw something on Twitter that I thought was laughable until I really thought about it. Is Andy Dalton the best quarterback in that division?
He might be.
I mean, that's laughable when you watch what happened
unreal.
Last night. And then you think about it going, well, wait a second. He might be the best quarterback in that division. That's horrible.
I just did the math. They're 5-18-1 as a division.
There are, six teams that have the total amount of wins that they have completely as a division.
Unbelievably
So the
bad.
NFC East is in my bottom, is my 31st.
Good for you. Good for you that you went that way. That is great because I looked at that division like I could put all of four teams in here. And I went with Dallas, even though Philadelphia is worse, right? Because I just said, you know, they were the worst.
You spared the Eagles because they
That's
tied
right.
the Bengals.
That's right. That's right. Number 32 is the Jets because,
oh,
you know,
God.
Why not? There's too many, not enough words to describe how bad the Jets are at 0-6.
There aren't.
They just aren't.
It's like the Eskimo have like 27 words for snow.
Right.
The Jets have 27 words for bad.
That's the top five, bottom five. Eric N. Holmelnick joins us from Yahoo Sports to go over the league next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. After 6 weeks are in the books in the NFL, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Eric at home joins us from Yahoo Sports. Always good to have him on the show. What's up, my friend?
Everything's good. What's going on with you?
Not much. Listen, last night, and I was saying this earlier. Look, I get it. When you play Dallas, especially when you play Dallas on a national stage, you no matter what you do, unless you're one of these teams with like a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers, more people are going to be discussing what's wrong with Dallas than what you did. But how good is Arizona based on what we've seen in the 6 weeks?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit here. How good?
Oh, sure. How good is Arizona? They're not. They won't get the attention of beating Dallas because everyone will focus on Dallas. But as far as Arizona looks, I mean, in terms of what they did, this is a first chance for a lot of people to have seen them play.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are probably, you know, unless, you know, you're a Cardinals fan, obviously, or you play in the NFC West, or, you know, maybe have one of those guys like Kyler on your fantasy team or something, maybe just getting a look at them for the first time. And, you know, they completed 9 passes. I mean, Kyler was like 4 of 14 at one point. They just weren't getting anything going. He runs for that first down. He makes another run later. He starts zipping passes. And all of a sudden, that thing started working pretty well. Drake ended up having a pretty big night. You know, Hopkins got going eventually. Even old man Larry Fitzgerald got some conversions there. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, before the season, they were a very intriguing team to me. I thought they had a chance to compete for the division. You know, obviously a couple setbacks, and you lose Chandler Jones, and it may not be a complete picture, but, boy, I mean, they can hit you in a hurry. I mean, Christian Kirk had the big touchdown, couple touchdowns. So they've got playmakers pretty much all over the board there.
So now let's focus on Dallas, because even though they lost, they're still leading a very, very bad division. But they've got a lot of things wrong with them. In terms of what is standing out most? I mean, is it the absence of Dak, or are there other things defensively that is standing out to you when evaluating the Cowboys?
Oh, there's so much. I mean, you know, their quickness to the edge is terrible. I mean, they're not able to react and set a hard edge against those perimeter run plays. You know, you see teams doing moving pockets, and they, you know, overcommit on those, and their eyes kind of freeze in the backfield when they're in zone. Obviously, the coverage in the back end has been pretty bad, too, for, you know, I mean, they've spent some draft picks, not necessarily first-rounders, but a lot of second and third and fourth-rounders in that secondary. Hasn't been good. The pass rush has been inconsistent. You know, I mean, they went out and, you know, they still have some high-paid talent up front and some big-name players. Even Alden Smith looked really good early in the year, and then all of a sudden has been kind of disappointing, and DeMarcus Lawrence and everybody else. And yeah, I mean, they lost Gerald McCoy in the preseason, but I don't think anybody felt like that was going to sort of tear the unit apart. They had enough talent up front, I think most people believe, but they just got Leighton Vander Esch back, too, and, you know, the linebacker unit's been banged up. So there's just a lot of stuff on defense right now. And, you know, Mike Nolan, the coordinator, has gotten some heat for it.
Even good teams will lose one, have a game you want to forget, pass along. Buffalo's had 2 bad losses. It was a little closer in this one than maybe this, you know, than it indicated. Do we rethink the Bills, though, at 4-2? They don't beat very good teams. They tend to beat up the teams they should beat. But they are 4-2, but do we rethink about who they really are?
About the Bills, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, I mean, obviously the last 2 games have been very disappointing. It's given us a different view of where they were, you know, when Josh Allen was being mentioned as MVP candidate. And, you know, I think the defense has a lot to do with it. I really do. I mean, Allen did start out pretty cold, pretty clunky in that game last night. But, you know, this defense, it's clear that they're nowhere near where they were a year ago. Last year, they were hoping to win games 17-13, you know, 20-17. They were you know, Allen and the offense were limited in what they could do. They have few flashes, but it was really on the defense to sort of be the tone setter. This year it's been completely opposite. I mean, it's the offense that gives them a chance to win games, and the defense is the reason why they lose games. So, you know, that's obviously got to be very disappointing. I think they've spent enough, you know, I mean, high picks, you know, Edmonds at linebacker, Ed Oliver at defensive line. They pay Trey White money. You know, they're not getting the returns they expected. They had a couple of guys they had to bench who were higher round picks, Harrison Phillips, et cetera. They've had to sort of sit and try somebody else there. Well, Kansas City ran the ball all over them last night. So I do really worry about that defense's ability to hold up. They're kind of like the, you know, the NFC East in the sense that Patriots are down, Jets are terrible, Dolphins maybe a year away. You know, they have some leeway, too, because of their division as well.
Let's go to Tennessee at 5-0, and there's a kind of a lesson, I guess, you can learn here, which is, look, if something worked, stay with it. I mean, they went into the offseason with Ryan Tannehill signed, they got Derrick Henry signed, and there was some skepticism, right, because you wanted to see if you could catch lightning in a bottle again, and they're catching lightning in a bottle again.
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, they're a well-coached shooter. I mean, Tannehill's played far better than I think even people realize. You know, it was funny because Tannehill got there, he was okay, and then sort of down the stretch he really, you know, caught fire, I guess. I mean, he started helping them win games. But then in the playoffs, they went to this ultra take-it-out-of-his-hands kind of mode.
Yeah.
And I think everybody sort of felt at the time like, okay, you know, Mike Vrabel understands Tannehill has his limitations. They sign him to the contract in the offseason. People's heads are still spinning like, wait a minute, who is this guy, you know? I just think in those specific instances, those two playoff matchups, I really think Mike Vrabel felt their best chance to win was just going all run, all heavy on that side. You know, Ryan will have to make a couple plays here and there. And this year, the formula's changed sort of back to what we saw in the regular season a year ago. Vrabel's probably one of the leading Coach of the Year candidates. Derrick Henry's somehow in the MVP race as a running back. You know, they get A.J. Brown back going again. But losing Taylor Lewan at left tackle is going to be one that, you know, that's one that could really sting them if they can't play. You know, I mean, Tyson Brillo and guys like that. I mean, I'm worried about the drop-off there with him out.
What's your take on what's going on in Minnesota? I thought that they would go to the playoffs in my preseason pick. They're 1-5 and don't look anywhere near as good as anybody thought. How do you figure why this is happening there?
Yeah, I mean, it's too simple to just say it's all on Kirk Cousins, but it's right. A big reason why.
Yeah.
He clearly hasn't played well. They haven't figured out that offensive line. I mean, it's going on 5-6 years now where they've sunk a lot of assets into fixing that offensive line, and they have it about 3/5 fixed. But, you know, it's like saying you have a dam that has 3/5 of the, you know, the plast covered. I mean, you know, at some point you're going to be leaking out. So that's a big issue as well. Obviously, you have the two playmakers at receiver. There's not a lot of diversity. Dalvin Cook's in and out sometimes. But I would say it's got to be the offensive line and Cousins. I mean, Cousins a year ago had one of his lowest interception rates. I think he threw 6 picks last season. After some early kind of turmoil there, they figured it out. They won 11 games. They went on the road and beat the Saints in their building with fans. Remember that?
I mean, right.
That's why you and I sort of had this optimism like, okay, if the secondary kind of holds up, you know, this could be a 12-win team or something like that. But, yeah, it clearly has not been the same. Cousins' rhythm is thrown off. He's throwing picks left and right. It just sort of feels like he's, you know, almost a shell-shocked guy at this point. It's been such a weird turn of events with him in Minnesota.
Let me ask you this, Eric, and this may be some speculation on your part, but in terms of the way the league is handling these positive COVID tests and shuffling games around, there is going to be a point where there's no more room to shuffle games. Are they open to extending the season and pushing everything down the line in terms of the playoffs? I thought there was a built-in week. Is there a built-in week for an extra week for all of this?
Yeah, I heard the first part of the question, the last part not so much, but I understand what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think what the league was trying to do, based on a conversation I had with somebody a couple months back, was build in enough flexibility to the schedule to where, you know, if you have to sort of move the Super Bowl back or shuffle things around a little bit, you can do it. Obviously, if they can play a 16-game season, you know, even with the bumps in the road along the way, they're going to do it. There's, you know, if it's at all a question, you know, they're not cutting games if they don't have to, right? I mean,
right.
They're adding games in the sense that there's more playoff teams this year. So, I mean, overall, I would say it's been a mostly really good job. That's the thing we have to look at. Every time there's a positive case or a building has to be shut down, it's not the end of the world. This is expected. I mean, this is part of the process that we understood. We saw how crazy baseball was for a month. We saw college football, you know, having summer workouts, and then all of a sudden people were told sent home. I mean, this is part of the deal. And I think, you know, the NFL is always going to be ripe for extra criticism. I'm always going to be there when they mess up and say, hey, look, what's going on here? But in this particular case, I think they've done a pretty darn good job of kind of tamping out some of the fires that have kind of blown up here and there.
And maybe the tougher thing is the fact that Tennessee is 5-0 and they've had like two practices in 2 weeks. So it's not like you could go to these teams and the teams go, well, we need 4 days to prepare. And they're like, yeah, maybe you don't need 4 days to prepare. Maybe you could figure this out like Tennessee figured it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like New England, I mean, obviously you could say the Patriots, you know, they lost practice time. They finally got back Thursday and then they had the place shut down on Friday. And is that why Cam Newton looked rusty early on?
Yeah.
Probably. But the team, like you just said, the Titans have been able to get this thing done and be efficient. Find what, you know, I mean, look, I'm not trying to say Mike Vrabel's a better coach than Bill Belichick, but you got to give him a ton of credit for that. You have to say, like, everyone's technically dealing with the same things, even if they haven't faced that kind of situation yet. So, you know, the playing field may not be exactly even, but life isn't exactly even either. So you got to give the credit to the Titans for how they've handled this, even if, you know, some people were angry at them for some of their actions and, you know, obviously kind of throwing things off there for a couple weeks.
Eric, always good talking to you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the way. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Love it. Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports, joining us on Progressive Guest Line. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. Also want to remind you that especially with the holidays coming, homefields.com has got the great gift for you. You know, don't be the one that says to your loved ones, oh no, just get me anything. Don't say that. Say, oh no, I know exactly what you get me this holiday season. Go to homefields.com and check it out. They have got beautiful 3D football and baseball stadiums, also arenas that have got a really great 3D effect, and plus they're really well lit. Great for the mantle, great for the office, and plus, because Ken Small was a sports writer who created these, is a great historical description of the stadium slash arena on the back. And again, you can get new stadiums, you can get the older stadiums to go a little back in time and feel a little nostalgic, or you can do what Ron Culver does, which is just take Dodger Stadium and stick it on the mantle and hope that it's a good luck charm all the way through to a World Series championship. Lord knows I've got Three Rivers Stadium and the Steelers, for the first time in my lifetime, second time in franchise history, are 5-0. So they're working for us as good luck charms. Can we promise you that? No, but it's better than nothing. So go to homefields.com and check them out. You're going to really like them. They're really, really good works of art. And again, if you're a fan and you've had fond memories of a stadium, maybe your father took you there when you were a kid or whatnot, they really, really great, make great holiday pieces. Check them out at homefields.com. All right, it's again, Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, today every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Eric Edholm joining us from Yahoo Sports. Man, he had a hard time hearing us. In 2020, are we still doing this thing with droppy phone calls?
Can you hear me now?
Have we not fixed that problem since this is the method of communication?
I know. That guy even moved on from his phone company to a different one.
Right.
So he was able to hear.
Can you imagine when we were growing up in the 70s and 80s like if your landline phone was as unreliable as some cell phone calls, you would just be like, I can't do this.
Well, you never saw those commercials.
Yeah, right?
Those never happened. The issue with that commercial is maybe your cord popped out.
Yeah. God.
So you had to get the longer 20-foot cord.
God, what an unbelievable time it was to communicate by telephone back in the day. You had to stand in one location. Like, unless you had – but when they finally had the wireless phone, that was great. Yeah. But I remember my mother having these long conversations when I was a kid sitting in the kitchen.
Yep.
Just being tethered to a phone. Then my mother would snap her fingers whenever she wanted my brother and I to come over, and we'd always go over, and she'd yank our hair and be like, stop messing around, because we would goof off and fight and do all the things that brothers would do. But we always went to my mother all the time, like fools. Like, even as young kids, we were like, why are we doing this? Why do we keep going over there?
Yeah.
We know what's happening. We know what we're doing, and we know what's going to happen when we get over there. But instead of, like, my mother was smart. Instead of saying to whoever she was talking to, hey, can I call you right back? My kids are driving me crazy. She was just like, get over here, while she was in the middle of conversation. And then we'd go running over. But forget it. Now it's like.
It is amazing to think. I mean, that's, yeah. When you said that, I was just picturing the phone hanging on our wall growing up. Like, it was always in the same spot. I never even thought twice that it was always in the same spot. But it was.
When I was a kid, I
used to. We only had one.
It was like when I was a kid, I used to admire rich people who had phones in their limousines. Remember when they would show that? Like on Different Strokes, Mr. Drummond would pick up the phone and he'd be calling from his limousine. And you're like, that's amazing to have a phone in your car. Now you can't even use the phone in your car. You can't even like pick it up.
Well, now you're also
you have to be
like,
a passenger in order to use it.
You don't have an excuse not to get back to someone. Now
that's
either.
Right.
That's
now
the other bad thing.
That's exactly right. So, well, thanks, Eric Edholm, who fought through that with a bad connection. Always appreciate it. Hey, the Jake Asman Show is coming up next as we roll along on the Sports Map Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.